Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as we celebrate this great feast of the Ascension of our Lord, I think it's important that we understand where it took place. There's a high hill just east of Jerusalem, and it lies across a valley called the Kidron Valley, and the Kidron Brook runs through this valley. And the place where our Lord ascended into heaven was at the top of this high hill. And he left us. We have this from the testimony of scripture, or rather I should say of theologians and doctors at the church of Saint, such as St. Augustine, who said that our Lord left the imprint of his feet in the rock as he ascended into heaven. And I'll come back to that point a little bit later on. But it's important that we also understand that lower down on the slopes of the same hill is the Garden of Olives. Yes, where our Lord sweat blood, so terrified he was of the torments that would await him in his passion. And I couldn't help but think, as our Lord was leading the apostles up to the top of Mount Olivet, this high hill, did he, or perhaps the better word would be, wouldn't he have led them right through the same garden where he had his agony? To me, it seems very likely, and for this reason, that our Lord wanted them to remember that there cannot be the glory of the reward unless there be the cross, unless there be suffering. And as he's leading them to his to where he's going to triumphantly ascend into heaven, he's leading them through the garden, saying, remember where I suffered so much for you, where the drops of sweat became blood, drops of blood. So great was my suffering then. Don't forget that. You will not receive your reward unless you're willing to carry the cross and suffer with me. There it was, Peter, James, and John, where you fell asleep, where you couldn't make that holy hour with me. There you were, the other disciples, inattentive to me. And our Lord wasn't saying this to humiliate them, but just to remind them. Again, we don't have this explained this way in Scripture, but I believe that our Lord would have done it this way. And so they get to the top of the hill, and our Lord gives them the final command, the command he gave to the church: go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's the divine command the church must teach till the end of time, because there the command was given. The church must baptize, the church must sanctify, the church must fulfill her mission until he comes again in glory. And then, having completed all of his instructions, he rises by his own power into heaven. And I believe that this was truly a bittersweet day for the apostles. They were now losing the sensible presence of Christ. Oh, they knew that he would remain with them in the Holy Eucharist. They knew that he would be with them. He says, I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. So whatever his church goes through, no matter the triumphs or the tragedies, whatever the difficulties may be, he's always there. But we know that by faith, you see. We have to make that act of faith when the Lord doesn't seem to be present to us, but we have to rely by faith on God's word, that he is in the Holy Eucharist physically, and that he is with this church in a special way as the invisible head of the church till the end of time. So they were losing that. But this is why I think our Lord left behind the imprint of the rock, the imprint of his foot on the rock. St. Augustine says that he had come there a number of times and saw that miraculous imprint. And our Lord left that for our consolation. Left it for the apostles' consolation. They could go back and see his imprint there. I've had the great fortune in the last 2 weeks to visit holy shrines and places in Italy. And I've had that great privilege of seeing the shroud of our Lord face to face. We were only about 50 feet away. There were, of course, thousands of people there taking advantage of the opportunity to venerate the shroud, to witness it. And why did our Lord leave his imprint on the shroud? For our consolation and to help our faith. Also, some of us pilgrims, I guess you could call us, we had the great fortune to go up on our knees, not just once, but twice on two separate days, the staircase that our Lord walked up to be judged by Pilate. These steps were brought from Jerusalem by St. Helena and put in the Church of the Holy Cross, and it's painful to go up on your knees. The marble steps are covered with wood, and they're not very kind to your knees, but that's not the point. It's to unite with our Lord's suffering and to be consoled in a very real sense that, you know, he walked up these steps to be judged, to suffer at the hand of Pilate. And these steps exist for our consolation, and they do strengthen our faith. It was, by the way, St. Helena who built a church on the top of Mount Olivet in memory of the ascension of our Lord. So the apostles are losing this sensible presence of our Lord. It's a bittersweet day. They do rejoice for him. They know that our Lord most deservedly goes up to heaven with his retinue, all of the holy people, all the souls that were in limbo up to that point. Remember, they were redeemed on Good Friday, but they could not go to heaven until he went as the triumphant conqueror. I don't know if the apostles could also see these souls going up from limbo with our Lord, but we know from the teaching of Holy Scripture they went with our Lord. They were his retinue, and it's the greatest procession of all, the greatest triumphant procession, because our Lord, of course, he's God, but as man, he is receiving the reward for his obedience to the Heavenly Father. He's receiving his triumphant reward for his passion and death, for having accomplished everything that the Heavenly Father wanted him to do in his human nature. So the apostles are glad for our Lord, and this must be why we are told that even though they're feeling the pain of the loss, they went rejoicing back to Jerusalem. Why? Again, because they knew our Lord was receiving his reward, and also because they knew that he would be always with them. They weren't quite ready to go out and set the world on fire, to evangelize the world. They needed those 9 days of prayer, of intense prayer, waiting for the coming of the Holy Ghost. And may I remind you that every year the Catholic Church commands us in all parishes to observe that 9-day novena of prayer. We will have the prayers of the novena after Mass every day. And if you are not able to make it to Mass during the week, we have copies. I think we've kind of run out of them, but more will be put out so that you can pray these prayers at home in union with the apostles. And then when the Holy Ghost came upon them after that 9 days of intense prayer and preparation, they did go and do that mission which they were given. They went to far-reaching places. All of the apostles suffered martyrdom. And although St. John did not die in his bath of boiling oil, he was willing to die for Christ. But all the others were martyred and ended their lives that way. St. John alone had a death from natural causes. By the way, we were also able to visit the place, the Latin Gate, where he was boiled in oil, interestingly, or they tried to boil him in oil. That happened where the St. John Lateran Basilica is located. And a miracle happened because when they threw him into the boiling oil, it became a refreshing bath for him. And the commentators tell us he came out more refreshed than when he went in. A great miracle. So the apostles went forth to accomplish their mission. And make no mistake, my dear brethren, each one of us has a mission in life to fulfill. It may not be the clerical one, such as the apostles had, the first bishops of the church, but you have a mission, every one. There's a certain amount of good that God expects each of us to accomplish, and it varies according to our vocation and to our capabilities. But that's our role in life. We must keep our eyes on heaven as the apostles did. They, in a sense, were looking too longingly after our Lord, and therefore the two angels appeared to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking?" In other words, Jesus has already gone up. Deal with that fact that you don't have that sensible presence of our Lord. And yes, they did go back, rejoicing. 9 days of deep prayer. And then the birthday of the church happened on Pentecost. We must look to heaven too, like the apostles did. Keep our eyes on heaven, not in the sense of vain longing for consolation, which perhaps the apostles fell into, understandably so, that day. But keep our eyes on heaven. And isn't that surely the way that marks the follower of Christ from the follower of the world? The follower of the world keeps his eyes on this life. How much enjoyment can I have out of this life? That's not what a follower of Christ does. The follower of Christ knows that that's what it's all about. And this life, no matter how long it may be, is but the shortest amount of time compared to the length of eternity. So today's Feast of the Ascension is a day to look at heaven, to remind ourselves there's a throne waiting up there. There's a crown waiting up there. As long as we are faithful to Christ, as long as we are willing to suffer with him. And only that, in that way, can we receive the reward. May I also draw your attention to what Scripture says. It wasn't in today's epistle, but it goes on further in the Acts of the Apostles. It makes it very clear that the apostles spent their 9 days of prayer in union with Our Lady. She was there. Scripture makes a direct reference to that. And that is another lesson of today. Be with Mary. Be close to Mary. Our Lady knows our Lord better than anyone else. More than the apostles even knew him. She's his mother. She knew him for 33 years here on earth. And she wants to form us in the image of her Son. And the apostles turned to her as a mother. They knew that she had been given to them from the cross, as she's been given to all of us. So stay close to Our Lady. She will form you as an apostle according to your walk and station in life. And she will also give us a greater capacity for the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost, whom we await on Pentecost. So may the feast, this feast inspire you with great joy, great longing for your eternal reward. And let us be always in union with Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.